and fellowship. Out of the 9 years spent in formal medical education, I would estimate I had 4 hours of lectures on nutrition. As a result, I had no more than a passing interest in nutrition until the mid-2000s. At the time, the Atkins diet promoting low-carb eating was in full swing. It was everywhere. Some family members of mine tried it and were ecstatic with the results. However, like most conventionally trained physicians, I believe their arteries would eventually pay the price. I, along with thousands of other physicians, had been taught and certainly believed that low-carbohydrate diets were simply a fad and the low-fat diet would prove to be the best. Then studies on the low-carb diet started to appear in the most prestigious medical journal in the world, the New England Journal of Medicine. Randomized controlled trials compared the Atkins diet to the standard low-fat diet that most healthcare providers recommended. These studies all came to the same startling conclusion. The low-carb diet was significantly better for weight loss than the low-fat diet. Even more stunning was that all the important risk factors for cardiovascular disease, including cholesterol, blood sugar level, and blood pressure, were also much improved on the low-carb diet. This was a puzzle, a real conundrum, and that was where my journey began. Figuring out what causes obesity. The new studies proved that the low-carb approach was a viable one. But this didn't make any sense to me because I was still steeped in the conventional calories in, calories out approach. The idea that the only way to lose weight is to consume fewer calories than you expend. Diets based on the Atkins methodology, for example, did not necessarily restrict caloric intake, yet people were still losing weight. Something didn't add up. One possibility was that the new studies were wrong. However, that was unlikely given that multiple studies all showed the same result. Furthermore, they confirmed the clinical experience of thousands of patients who were all reporting weight loss on the Atkins diet. Logically, accepting that the studies were correct meant the calories in, calories out approach had to be wrong. Much as I tried to deny it, there was no saving the calories in, calories out hypothesis. It was dead wrong. And if the calories in, calories out hypothesis was wrong, then what was right? What caused weight gain? What was the etiology, the underlying cause of obesity? Doctors spend almost no time thinking about this question. Why? Because we think we already know the answer. We think that excessive caloric intake causes obesity, and if eating too many calories is the problem, then the solution is eating fewer calories and burning more through an increase in activity. This is the eat less, move more approach. But there's an obvious problem. Eat less, move more has been done to death over the past 50 years, and it doesn't work. For all practical purposes, it doesn't really matter why it doesn't work, although we'll look into that in Chapter 5. The bottom line is that we've all done it, and it doesn't work. The underlying cause of obesity turns out to be a hormonal rather than a caloric imbalance. Insulin is a fat storage hormone. When we eat, insulin increases, signaling our body to store some of this food energy as fat for later use. It's a natural and essential process that has helped humans survive famine for thousands of years, but excessively and persistently high insulin levels result inexorably in obesity. Understanding this leads naturally to a solution. If excess insulin is causing obesity, then clearly the answer lies in reducing insulin. Both the ketogenic diet, a low-carb, moderate-protein, high-fat diet, and intermittent fasting are excellent methods of reducing high insulin levels. Insulin and type 2 diabetes. However, in my work with type 2 diabetics, I realized that there was an inconsistency between the treatment of obesity and the treatment of type 2 diabetes, two problems that are closely linked. Reducing insulin may be effective in reducing obesity, but doctors like me were prescribing insulin as a cure-all treatment for diabetes, both types 1 and 2. Insulin certainly lowers blood sugars, but just as surely, it causes weight gain. I finally realized